So friends, let us understand what more we have to learn from the chapter 1. As I said, this chapter is going to focus on basic agri-commodities. At a glance, we will see some types of agri-commodities that are grown and traded in India. So the basic learning objective of this chapter will be to help you understand various types of agri-commodities that are grown and traded in India. As we have seen, what main points are we going to cover? So the main points will start basically with what is agriculture, how India is dependent on it, what are the different types of regions which grows different types of crops, and how they are traded. That is going to be the main focus of this chapter. So now let's begin with chapter 1. We see, as I said before, agriculture is the largest livelihood provider in India, even today. When I say largest livelihood provider, it employs over 50% of the India's workforce. So when we talk about 50%, it is phenomenally big. And even in today's times, our country has major land under agriculture, and it employs over 50% of Indian workforce, and in turn it contributes 17% to our country's GDP. As I said before, agriculture means we have different regions, and since we have different regions, we have different climatic zones, and these climatic zones help us to sow in different types of crops. So our agriculture has different types of crops grown into different regions, and the biggest reason for this is the diverse agro-climatic conditions that helps our farmers to grow different varieties of crops into different regions. So what about the production? How much do we produce? Are we producing for ourselves? Are we able to export? So that is what we have to take a look at it. When we talk about the food grain production, our food grain production has increased, more specifically from 50.82 million tons. That is where when it was first recorded in 1951-52, to the latest figures that are available, it has gone to 384.95 million tons in 2018-19. So a huge jump from 50 to about 285 million tons. When we talk about production, specifically we have to understand the phase of production since independence. So when we talk about since independence, India's production has increased more than 5 times. To be specific, increased by 5.6 times due to increase in the irrigation land. More and more land has been brought under irrigation, and that has increased the production. The production of most of the crops for the agricultural year 2019-20 has been estimated higher than their normal production. When we talk about some disturbances in the form of unwanted rains, non-seasonal rains, yes, that can create some decrease in the production. But the general trend that we estimate, even for 2019, is that is a rise, increase in, we'll come to know only when the final estimates are out. Agriculture sector is growing basically due to better infrastructure. And when we talk about better infrastructure, more and more farm mechanization with the help of technology is helping us to boost the productivity of crops. The yield has also improved, because when on one side we have farm mechanization to increase productivity, on the other side to get good crops, we have the genetically modified crops, we create high yield crops, and that is how the yield is also increasing. The cost of production, the wholesale price index, the consumer price index has also increased. Now the cost is increasing, the production is also increasing. So overall we see the trend, rising trend amongst both the productivity, the yield, as well as the cost of growing. If we have to understand which states are better producing agri-crops, agri-commodities. So a small picture basis 2017-18 gives us the total food production, the highest food productions in terms of state. Number one, Uttar Pradesh. Number two, Madhya Pradesh. Number three, Punjab. In terms of rice, West Bengal tops it, followed by Punjab and Uttar Pradesh. In terms of wheat, once again Uttar Pradesh tops, followed by Punjab and Madhya Pradesh. In terms of maize, Karnataka tops, followed by Maharashtra and Madhya Pradesh. In terms of oil seeds, specifically soybean, Madhya Pradesh tops, followed by Maharashtra and Rajasthan. In terms of sugarcane, once again Uttar Pradesh tops, followed by Maharashtra and Karnataka. And in terms of cotton, Gujarat tops, followed by Maharashtra and Telangana. So this gives you a broad picture of which states are connected with producing which type of agri commodities. That doesn't mean other state doesn't produce. On the basis of 2017-18, this is the ranking that we have got. Government is also putting in its efforts to support the farmers. We have seen a day will come when every country will be measured in terms of the grains it produces. And more importantly, as and when that day comes, we have to survive, and survival can happen only because of the food grains. And as we are seeing, even though the productivity, the yield is increasing, but our biggest factor of concern is the arable land is going on decreasing because of the division and fragmentation of the land. And when we talk about division and fragmentation of land, whoever owns the land may not be knowing the techniques, the strategies of producing good crops. And here comes the government support. Government is putting its efforts to support the farmers, and for which government is setting up different committees to understand the problems of the farmers. And based on the recommendations, government also implements important policies for the benefits of the farmers. So let us now understand which are the different committees. Cabinet Committees on Economic Affairs has approved and increasing the minimal support price. This is very important for the farmers, because what happens is when they produce, when there is a boost in production, when there is a large scale production, and if they don't get the price, then the entire production may go waste. And here comes an important support from the government. What we call it as a minimum support price for all mandated rabi crops for 2019-20. So here comes a big support wherein government has assured them the minimum support price. The increase in minimum support price of crops for rabi marketing season 2020-21 is based on specific logic. This logic is fixing the MSPs at least 1.5 times that of all India weighted average cost of production. So that is a reason, a logic behind fixing this MSP. It is not done in any haphazard manner. The farmers are assured of a minimum of 50% margin on profit, and this is one of the important and progressive steps towards fulfilling one of a major aim of the government of doubling the farmers' income by 2022 and improving their welfare substantially. So government is not just doing a small effort of helping them temporarily, but government has a larger picture in mind for increasing the, or more than increasing, we can say doubling the farmers' income by 2020, and in turn also improving their welfare schemes. Now let us understand about which crops are covered under the minimum support price. The minimum support price covers almost about 20 crops, and these are the cereals, which includes the paddy, the wheat, the barley, the jowar, the bajra, maize, and the ragi. In terms of pulses, we have the gram, the arhar, the tur, moong, urad, and the lentil. In terms of the oil seeds, we have the groundnut, the rapeseed, the mustard, the toria, the soybean, the sunflower seed, the sesame, the safflower seed, and the nigger seed. In terms of copra, rock cotton, raw jute, and finally Virginia flue-cured VFC tobacco also. All these are covered under your minimum support price scheme of the government. Government, as we have seen, has implemented different types of policies for the welfare and growth as well as development of agriculture. And it is not just agriculture, it is with relation to anything that is connected with agriculture. And basis on what types of policies that has been devised, we have different names based on different colors. Like we have the green revolution, especially for food grain, because generally we call, see the food grains into green color, agricultural color is green. We have the white revolution for the milk. We have the yellow revolution for the oilseed. We have the red revolution for the tomatoes. We have the golden revolution for the fruits. We have the gray revolution for the fertilizers, and we have the black revolution for the non-conventional energy sources. So Government of India's national agricultural policy has been described into rainbow colors. Just as a rainbow has seven colors, we have different colors describing different revolutions, which means different attention, specific attention for the growth and development of that particular commodities. We have also seen agriculture has shown tremendous transformation on yield per hectare for all crops. As we have seen, we are showing great transformation because of shift from the traditional methods to the modern methods with the help of technology, with the help of hybrid seeds. So if we have to list out the reasons for the transformation, we can easily say the modern agricultural technique, adoption of hybrid seeds, extension of irrigation facilities, application of intensive method of cultivation, increase in storage facilities, agriculture credit to farmers at concessional rates, is strengthening and developing both input and output markets in the agriculture. So these are the different reasons which has shown tremendous transformation in the yield per hectare of all crops. Government of India is also encouraging the growth in agricultural sector through various policies and initiatives. Once again, if we had to list out, we can easily say it has reformed the agricultural land policies, it has promoted the research and developing new varieties, it has promoted the organic farming to reduce the burden of chemical fertilizers, it has ensured effective utilization of farm resources for raising the productivity, it has increased the minimum support price and other relief measures. It has also protected farmers from the losses with innovative crop insurance schemes. It has reformed existing market structure to provide remunerative prices for the farmers. And most importantly, it also aims to double the farmers' income by 2022. So these are the various methods of encouraging the farm, the farmers and the agriculture sector undertaken by the government. The Indian food industry is succeeding in increasing its contribution to the world trade. As I said sometimes before, India is not only growing crops for its own consumption, but in modern times it has sufficient production to export. And it is becoming a very, very useful resource for exporting those countries who may not have that much of food to eat. So what does that mean? In the last few years, India has witnessed increase in exports of agri products. India is a major player in the world commodity market, more specifically in jute, in tea, in coffee, in cashew, in fruits, vegetables, rice, wheat, sugarcane, groundnut, cotton and spices. These are the very few, some of them. That doesn't mean India is not growing other commodities, other crops, but these are the major, major exports from India to the world. Indian agriculture and processed foods are also exported to more than 100 countries. So a major part of the world is receiving agri products which are grown in India. And that's how India has a larger contribution to the global requirements of food. And what has happened because of this, this has increased the foreign direct investment in agriculture. The global countries, the global companies have got confidence in Indian agriculture, in Indian agri processing industries, and that is the reason they are putting their money for the growth and development of Indian farm, Indian agriculture, as well as agri-processing industries. Indian food processing industry is also attracting increasing number of foreign direct investment equity inflow, especially into marketing of food products, as well as into food product e-commerce. India's agricultural products and commodities is going to play a major role in India's international trade in the decades ahead. Because as we go ahead, we will increase, we'll be able to increase the productivity, the yield, and more we send it to the global countries, the more our exports, the more chances of getting foreign exchange revenue for the country. Indian crops and sale of agri-produce. India's agricultural production comprises of food crops, which are basically grown into two seasons. As we all know, the Kharif crops and the Rabi crops. The Kharif crops are grown into July till October, and the Rabi crops are grown from October till March. We have another category of summer crops, which are grown during March and June. So these are the major types of production, agri production in India, because we have different seasons and we can grow crops into all seasons. That's how we basically classify mainly into the Kharif and Rabi, and more specifically the summer crops. The Kharif crops includes the rice, the maize, the bajra, the ragi, the soybean, groundnut, cotton, etc. Whereas the Rabi crops includes the wheat, the barley, the oats, the linseed, the mustard, etc. And here the farmers have to follow various methods of buying and selling agricultural produce. The traditional methods includes under cover of cloth. Like when we talk about traditional methods, there were no exchanges. The farmers used to come together and they used to hold their hands, put a cover of a cloth, and whatever happens inside the cloth, that's the way, by pressing the fingers, that's the coding they were using it for making a deal between them for buying and selling. So this what we find traces of the traditional methods of buying and selling. That is what we call as under cover of cloth. The modern methods includes selling produce at a mandi. Mandi is a proper market where farmers can send his produce, and in turn that mandi can send it to other regions which are in need, and this actually gives rise to a middleman who takes in the farmer's produce and sends it to those regions for getting a bigger and wider market. The latest in the line is trading of agri commodities through wide range of agri commodity exchanges, wherein a farmer can simply tell his broker of the exchange basis on what he has to sell, and based on that the broker or the member of the commodity exchange will actually make a deal, and that's how the farmer can get a best price basis on what he tells, what instructions he gives to the broker. And that is a better way of getting a price. Instead of doing a deal with just one person, he has large number of buyers through whom he can actually take the best price, and the price discovery happens in a nice manner by executing different types of derivative contracts such as futures and options, which we are going to see in detail in our coming chapters. And finally, now what we have to understand is the main book we are going to understand is Agri Price Risk Management. So this Agri Price Risk Management is basically for agri commodities, and we have to first be very clear about what exactly are these agri commodities. What is the definition of agri commodities? So let's understand that. Commodity exchanges has facilitated the competitive price discovery of very agri commodities by providing accurate information, reduce the middleman, increase transparency, enabling farmers to get the best price, helps farmers to decide the crops to grow, which crop to grow, and to reap better prices. But when we talk about crops, crops can be of various varieties, crops can be of various dimensions, and if it has to be sold across the exchange, whoever is the buyer needs to know specifically what variety, what yield, what type, what quality of crop he is going to buy. And here comes the requirement of specifying what type of crop is going to be sold across on the exchange. And for that reason, to avoid any sort of confusion, we have specific regulation for that, and that is where our Forward Contract Regulation Act 1952 comes into the picture. In order to participate in the agricultural produce futures market, agricultural produce has to be defined as agri commodities as provided by the Forward Contracts Regulation Act 1952, which has been made more specific by regulations on the commodity derivatives market by the present regulator of commodities market, that is Securities and Exchange Board of India, SEBI. So this is how we get this commodities, the agri commodities for trading. So it is specifically defined in terms of an act, which we call as the Forward Contracts Regulation Act. And it has to be following the rules by the regulator, that is SEBI, and also by the exchanges who are actually going to enable trading. So this is what we mean by agri commodities. Now we have to understand a very, very wider concept of agri commodities market, which we call as the ENAM. ENAM is the Electronic National Agri Market. Like we saw the under the cloth from marketing to the actual transfer of commodities to the mandi. Now when we talk about mandi, we have a huge concept of agri commodities market in the form of Electronic National Agri Market, wherein different types of agri markets are connected, integrated electronically. Electronic national market has been created as a unified national market for agri commodities by networking all the existing agri producing market committees. So when we call APMC, we are going to learn more about APMC in the next chapter. But when we talk about APMC, APMC are actually coordinated with various mandis in those regions, and which in turn becomes localized. But when we talk about APMCs connected across the country, and which these are connected across the country electronically, then lots of opportunities of buying and selling happens by sitting at one place, and you can do your trade across the country. And that has been the biggest advantage of an electronic national agricultural market. Basically, this concept has been mooted for promoting organized marketing of agricultural commodities, minimizing the price differential and enabling better price discovery, as well as curb the malpractices. Because when we understand the actual marketing, the transfer happening from the farmer to a mandi or to an APMC, lots of middlemen come to the picture, and ultimately the farmer lands up into getting very lesser cost than what the actual consumer pays. So this process of directly connecting electronically from the farmer to the markets has reduced large number of middlemen, and this middleman has elimination has resulted into curbing malpractices. The farmer is getting a better price for his produce, and as of now we are having over 20 major wholesale agri markets integrated electronically under the ENAM. So what are the commodities that are traded on ENAM? We have a beautiful classification and a sub-classification within this agri commodities, and one has to understand, I have brought all this in your book, and one has to get a clear idea about what all agri commodities can be traded on the ENAM. So if we want to have a broad classification, we can see there are six categories. The first one is the food grains and cereals. Second one is the oil seeds. Third one is the vegetables. Fourth is the fruits. Fifth is the spices. And sixth, whichever is not included in the first five, we call them in the miscellaneous categories. Within this, we are having different examples of each categories, which you can refer in your books. Then we have the national agri commodities on the NCDX. This is one of the major multi-commodity exchange in our country. National Commodities and Derivatives Exchange Limited is a nation-level multi-commodity exchange, and it serves as an important connect between the farmers and the process of optimum price realization on agricultural produce. NCDX deals with various agri commodities like cereals and pulses, oils and oil seeds, gourd complex, fibers, spices, sugar. We are going to see more details about NCDX in our chapter, which we are having specifically meant for Indian commodity exchanges. The next type of agri-commodity exchange, one of the major in our country, is MCX. MCX stands for Multi-Commodity Exchange of India, is also a nation-level multi-commodity exchange and facilitates the online trading of commodities, derivative transactions for enabling the price discovery and risk management. Whenever we say online, it gives lots of benefits. Any farmer from any part of the country can connect with this exchange and do his trading. MCX deals with various agri commodities like black pepper, cardamom, castor seed, cotton, crude palm oil, menta oil, abedi, palmoline, as well as rubber. Yet another, a modern, the latest commodity exchange in India is the ICEX. ICEX stands for Indian Commodity Exchange, and this is the third largest. Actually, this has been because of commodity exchange in the form of multi-commodity exchange. It was merged into ICEX, and that is how it has grown into a third largest multi-commodity exchange. The merger and more details, again, we are going to see in our chapter on Indian commodity exchanges. If you want to know what ICEX deals with, which agri commodities deals with, we once again have different types of commodities in the form of the cereals, the oils and seeds, the spices, the fibers, as well as plantation. Thank you.